Senate Fishing Game will be come to order. Secretary, will you take the roll, please?
Vice Chair Brown?
Here.
Vice Chair Jacobson?
Here.
President Blaisdell?
Here.
Senator Cohenour?
Present.
Senator Ellsworth?
Excused.
Senator Flowers? Senator Hertz?
Here.
Senator Howard?
Excused.
Senator Keenan?
Excused.
Senator McClafferty?
She's excused too.
Chairman Heinbaugh?
Here. If you have a cell phone, please turn it on silent so it don't disrupt the proceedings. If you're going to testify any bills today, please sign in at the sheets outside. We're going to start off with House Bill 353. Representative, are you ready to open on your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Always ready. This is a first. I haven't been in front of Fish, Wildlife, and Parks in a couple sessions, so this will be unique. Mr. Chair and committee, how many committee members played lottery? Don't need a show of hands. Not the Mega Millions, but a lottery held by the FWP for trophy hunts such as moose. How many have won the lottery and been picked for a moose permit? Again, no show of hands, but some people have spent years and years applying for a lottery moose hunt only to be awarded their permit money refund and nothing more. And I'm one of those people. Those lucky enough to be picked have only started a huge investment in oftentimes a once-in-a-lifetime hunt. But I have two such lucky people that were drawn for moose permits in my district last interim. Both spent an average of around $2,500 to $3,000 to fund their hunts. One gentleman is 73 years old, and this would most likely have been his last hunt of this magnitude. The other gentleman is younger, but like many of us, is showing his age and physically challenged. And again, that'd be me. Both men were lucky enough to be drawn for that prize moose permit. Both of these men also won, for lack of better words, another unique and hard-to-win lottery pick. They both harvested moose infected with CWD, chronic wasting disease. Both men were told they were going to be reissued a replacement permit. Great news for the current season. Both men were given this opportunity only after the season was mostly over and winter conditions had set in. Neither was financially nor physically able to renew the hunt that season. FWP only made the replacement permits valid for the current hunting season. This is the law. No lottery-type permit can be replaced for the next season. It's current law. This is the reason we're here today, and I bring you HB 353, a bill that will allow FWP to, quote, page 1, line 15 of the bill, issue a replacement license, permit, or tag to a person that has lawfully harvested a game animal, but the meat of the animal was determined by the department to be unfit for human consumption. Lines 18 and 19 lay out the requirements, and line 20 lays out the option of when the replacement will be issued. Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Are there proponents to House Bill 353?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Eric Melson. For the record, that's spelled M-E-L-S-O-N. I represent the Montana chapter of Backcountry Hunters and Anglers here in support for House Bill 353. Simply put, this bill is a great idea, and it's the right thing to do as Montana continues to monitor and prevent the spread of chronic wasting disease in our wildlife populations. By allowing Fish, Wildlife, and Parks to issue replacement licenses to a person who lawfully harvested a game animal, but found the meat of that animal was determined by the department unfit for human consumption due to disease or prior injury, This bill will encourage more testing and reporting of CWD cases in Montana. The amendments add clarity and assurances that this policy will not be exploited by those who just want another hunting license or another reason than meat being unfit for consumption due to their own personal neglect or improper animal care. Additionally, hunters would be required to forfeit the entire animal, including the meat, antlers, horns, hide, skull, ivories, etc., leaving little incentive to abuse this privilege. As amended, we do not see this bill as being exploited, and for those reasons, we encourage this committee do pass. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of committee.
Thank you. Are there further proponents in the room? Proponents online, Dale Tribby.
Mr. Chairman and members of the Senate Fish and Game Committee, my name is Dale Tribby, spelled T-R-I-B-B-Y, and I reside near Miles City. I'm here today representing the Montana Sportsman Alliance, a coalition of resident hunters, anglers, and conservationists. Representative Gunderson's bill is really a common sense bill and a practice fish, wildlife, and parks, to the best of my knowledge, has historically practiced, at least in to some degree. With the number of positive chronic wasting disease tests and the areas in which those tests, positive tests are being found, putting this measure into statute just makes good sense. MSA sees no negatives to this proposal. With that in mind, we ask for your support of House Bill 353. Thank you for the time today to testify.
Thank you, Marcus Strange.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Marcus Strange, spelled S-T-R-A-N-G-E, and I'm here representing the Montana Wildlife Federation. MWF supports House Bill 353, and we'd like to thank the representative for bringing this bill. In these times where hunters are still participating in hunting activities despite concerns about CWD and other wildlife diseases, this bill provides folks with some assurance that they can still provide food for their family and friends, even if their harvest is contaminated. And we would respectfully ask for a due pass on this bill. Thank you.
Are there opponents in the room? Any opponents? Seeing none, are there informational witnesses?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Amy Hockaluck. It's first name A-I-M-E-E, last name H-A-W-K-A-L-U-K. I'm an attorney with the Department of Fish, Wildlife, and Parks here today on the behalf of the director to answer any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there questions from the committee? Seeing none. Okay, you got one? No, that's good. Go ahead, Senator Brown.
For the sponsor, please.
Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Gunderson, you know, the part I'm looking at here is prior injury. I mean, do we have... You know, I understand the disease part, if it's completely unedible, but I've shot game multiple times. I don't want to say I've shot them multiple times. That sounds wrong, but I have shot an antelope with an arrow stuck through its back at one point in time. I've shot deer that have been gored and that kind of stuff in the shoulders and things. You know, you usually just kind of trim around those pieces and put them away. So what do you think in prior injury?
Mr. Chair, Senator Brown, I think the key words are you've already said them. The harvested animal where you find the meat is unfit for human consumption. If the animal's the Walking Dead and it's... Like you said, it's got an arrow stuck through it, and it's been 2 weeks out in the field. More than likely, that game animal isn't going to be fit for human consumption. So that's where actually the FWP took over in that description and used the words unfit for human consumption.
So then follow up. So then, you know, I get where you're going with like trophy stuff. We also, my daughter shot a deer one time that the biologist looked at it and thought it might be, it had this big, I mean, it was the size of a basketball thing on the side of its neck that we didn't see before we shot it. And he thought it might be like a tapeworm cyst or something like that. And we determined we were not going to eat that. He tried to, I'll decide. And I said, no, I will decide what my family consumes. But, and she did get another tag for the, you know, a deer tag. But if we're doing this, would that apply another deer tag possibly to the next season so you could shoot two the next season?
If you read through the bill, let's see. Page 1, line 15, item 2, the department shall issue a replacement license, permit, or tag to a person who lawfully harvested a game animal, but the meat of the animal was determined by the department to be unfit for human consumption. To obtain a replacement license, permit, or tag pursuant to this subsection, the person must, and you surrender the carcass and horns, if applicable, of the harvested animal determined to be unfit for human consumption, and may choose to be issued the replacement of the same tag year or the next license year. So that's basically everything that's been changed. So to answer your question, I think if it's a legally harvested game animal, then this bill will cover it. All you have to do is call a FWP warden or take it to like a CWD testing station, and they should be able to make that determination if it's fit for human consumption.
My follow-up.
Follow-up.
But that looks to me like, yeah, it would, okay, if I can get if I have a deer tag for this season and I shoot a animal that's unfit, I can get a replacement tag for that license for the next, in the use in the next season. So would that not allow me then to have two deer tags for that season? Get where I'm going.
Mr. Chair, Senator Brown, and I see where you're going with that, but again, that's the reason that we added page 1, line 18, item A, shall surrender the carcass and horns, if applicable, of the harvested animal determined to be unfit for human consumption. So there's a couple things you have to have happen before you can actually be reissued a tag.
Right, but excuse me, follow up then. But the answer, I guess, to that part of the question is yes, you could conceivably have two deer tags in the next season because you could have the replacement tag plus your tag for the next season.
Mr. Chair, Senator Brown, the tag that you've used is null and void and you've had to surrender that animal.
Right.
So the tag you would be issued would be for the next season. Correct.
And then you and then follow up, you would be able to then, but you would be able to purchase your tag also for that season. So you'd actually have two. Told you I didn't want to make it easy for you.
Mr. Chair, he's not making it easy. Mr. Senator Brown, I think you're reading more into the bill than actually what's there and the intent of it. The intent is to replace an unfit for human consumption animal that's been legally harvested, and if you surrender that animal, then you get a tag back that's good for the next year, the next season. And if I remember right, there was a question on that. Page 1, line 20, item B, may so there's a may in there, choose to be issued the replacement for the same license year or the next license year.
Okay, thank you.
Senator Brown, did that answer your question, or do we need to ask our informational witness?
Sure, let's refer that to our informational witness.
Mr. Chair, Senator Brown, yes, for example, if you shot an animal in 2021, let's say, that was deemed to be unfit for human consumption, chose to have that replaced for the 2022 season, the way I see it as written, you could then, if it were a deer license, for example, go ahead and have your replacement 2021 license and also apply for your general deer tag, or buy your general deer tag, rather, for 2022.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any more questions from the committee? Hopefully not real long ones like that. But seeing none, Representative, would you like to close on your bill?
Mr. Chair, Fish Wildlife Committee, it was starting to be a fun day. Might also note that there is no fiscal impact from this. And there were some assumptions made on the fiscal note. And assumption number four, at the end of it, it says, but not limited to CWD, other contagious diseases, systemic infection, or parasites. So it does cover a pretty wide range of problems. In closing, as you can see, some of these hunts can be a once-in-a-lifetime thing. For these two hunters, it really was a once-in-a-lifetime operation, I guess you could say, because one of them is 73 years old, and he's not real sure if he's going to be able to use that tag. But he at least wanted to make sure that anybody following in his footsteps and being as lucky as he was, or unlucky, whichever way you want to look at it, could have a replacement tag on a legally harvested animal unfit for human consumption. And that's my closing. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. That concludes our hearing on House Bill 353. Now we're ready for our sponsor of 242, House Bill 242. Welcome to the committee, Representative. You'd like to open on House Bill 242?
I would, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I am Representative Caleb Hinkle from House District 68, the beautiful sunny south side of Belgrade. Welcome to the Montana Heritage Hunt. Pages 8 and 9 are where the code changes are. Believe it or not, Montana is the only state that does not have a separate muzzleloader season in some form. Hawaii even has a separate muzzleloader season. This bill has two intentions. The first is to promote Montana's historical muzzleloader heritage. The bill is titled the Montana Heritage Hunt for a reason, as this season is for traditional muzzleloaders, not the scoped modern inlines that are primed from the breech and capable of reaching fairly long ranges. In the spirit of the era of Montana's historical muzzleloader heritage, the type of muzzleloaders allowed in this bill are traditional percussion, flintlock, wheelock, and matchlock rifles and muskets. These were the rifles used by early trappers and Native American tribes. The second reason to establish this hunt is to separate out the competition between scoped rifles during general rifle season and open sight traditional muzzleloaders. As with most muzzleloaders with open sights, you often must get up to roughly 70 yards max to accurately hit your target. While with a modern high-powered rifle like my 7mm, you can reasonably hit a target at greater than 400 yards. This heritage hunt will be established as a very short 9-day season on the second Saturday after rifle season ends. This would allow for the short season to be post-deer rut. Thank you for your time, and I do urge you to pass.
Are there proponents to House Bill 242? Are there opponents to House Bill 242? There's some online, Dale Tribby.
Mr. Chairman and members of the Senate Fish and Game Committee, my name is Dale Tribby, spelled T-R-I-B-B-Y, and I reside near Mile City. I'm here today representing the Montana Sportsman Alliance, again, a coalition of resident hunters, anglers, and conservationists. As a longtime hunter and land manager in southeastern Montana, and one who has been connected to the farming and ranching community, I know many landowners in my part of the state that look forward to the end of the big game season. After many weeks of archers and then antelope, deer, and elk hunting, and the associated parade of vehicles passing through their yards or hunters knocking on the door, the end of the big game season is enthusiastically welcomed. In addition, I have several rancher friends who soon after the general big game season ends, move their livestock into their winter pastures. If the muzzle loading season goes into effect, I believe this will result in a hardship to some of these ranchers. In addition, during the big game hunting season, hunters are free to use their weapon of choice, which includes muzzle loaders. With the generous existing big game season length, there's just no reason for additional 9 days of muzzle loading hunting. By December, with deer and elk on their winter ranges, it's time to give the wildlife a break, stress from the many weeks of hunting as well as the rut. For these reasons, we stand in opposition of House Bill 242. Thank you for your time to testify today.
Scott, you can pronounce your last name with
Yeah, that's Scott Malnichuk. Okay. That's spelled M-Y-L-N-E-C-H-U-K. And I'm the Missoula Valley board member for Montana Backcountry Hunters and Anglers. Montana BHA first offered our conditional support of this bill in the House. Upon further review, however, we realized just how problematic this legislation would be. We no longer support this bill, and we now oppose it for the following reasons. Season settings and weapon use restrictions should not be set in statute by the legislature. It is in our opinion that wildlife decisions like these are the job and expertise and responsibility of Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks and FWP Commission. We also believe and have gone on record in the past that Montana's big game deserves a break after 6 weeks of archery only, and followed by the 5 weeks of the general big game season. House Bill 242 would extend the current 5 weeks of general season another lengthy 9 days, which we believe that 5 weeks is ample amount of time to hunt big game with a firearm. And the use of a muzzle loader is already allowed during this time. We ask that you table House Bill 242 or simply vote against it. Thank you.
Carmen Bouchette.
Hello, Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Carmen Borchelt. That is B-O-R-C-H-E-L-T. I'm here on behalf of Montana Audubon, and we would like to be on the record in opposition for House Bill 242. Our opposition is very general. As we consistently oppose defining wildlife take seasons via the legislative process. In this particular case, setting a special season in statute will give special treatment to a very small user group, giving them over a week in special take allowance. As in often the case with setting take regulation in statute, we cannot see how this bill is necessary given the current abundance of the current muzzleloader hunting opportunities. And finally, this legislation is an additional season at the end of hunting season when animals need time to prepare for winter. It is unnecessary given the current shoulder seasons and annual season extensions that allow for the use of a muzzle loader. And for these simple reasons, we would recommend you to table House Bill 242. Thank you.
Marcus Strange.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Marcus Strange, and I am representing the Montana Wildlife Federation. MWF would like to recognize the goodwill of the sponsor, and we know a lot of work went into crafting this bill, and the idea behind it was more opportunity. However, after doing our due diligence, we do oppose House Bill 242. We are enthusiastic about hunters connecting with their history and heritage, and we recognize the enjoyment that can come from limiting the technology that hunters use when they're hunting. However, as been stated by several of the other opponents, this bill doesn't actually do what I think it's intended to do. There's already ample opportunity for folks to use muzzleloaders, and as has been stated, writing seasons into statute is a very tricky thing. We want to give the department ample flexibility and the ability to adapt to changing conditions on the ground, which if they are mandated to have these additional 9 days at the end of an already long season really curtails their flexibility and adaptability. So for these reasons, we would respectfully ask that you table House Bill 242. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there informational witnesses in the room? Seeing none online, are there questions from the committee? Senator Hertz.
Mr. Chair, for the sponsor. Mr. Chair, Senator.
Mr. Chair, Representative, a number of the opponents talked about private landowners and getting tired of folks continuing to hunt after the hunting season. This bill doesn't allow anybody to hunt on private land, does it, without permission of the owner?
Yeah, no, not without permission. And mentioning many of these muzzleloading opportunities before this season, a lot of those are special hunting districts that are generally in close proximity to houses and urban-type areas, and they're on private land already. This bill, in my intention, was for public land. I'm a public land hunter. I've hunted with my muzzleloader on public lands for years, and essentially, it's pretty difficult with the competition between scoped rifles, as I mentioned in my opening, and getting up close. Especially this season is not going to be on the scale of rifle season or archery season. There isn't that many muzzleloader hunters, so the amount of ranchers getting harassed by this will not be nearly on the scale.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Follow up.
Mr. Chair, Representative, also, so we have the shoulder season right now, which is only on private land. Mm-hmm. So do you see, is there any conflict here? I mean, you just mentioned most of these hunters will probably be on public land.
I don't see a conflict personally, Senator.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hinkle, I was just going to ask you a question. Can you tell me how far these muzzleloader guns will shoot accurately? Or
it depends on the type. It depends on the specific type. My flintlock Kentucky rifle, for example, is about 70, 75 yards to accurately hit that target. Now, you can shoot out further with a larger charge, and it's just nothing on the scale of like 400 yards, like I mentioned with my 7mm.
Are there any further questions? Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, for the sponsor.
Mr. Chair, Senator.
Mr. Chair, Representative, you know, I'm looking at, I got a couple of different things here. How did you come up to the nine days? What was the point behind 9 days?
Mr. Chair, Senator, this is kind of just experimental because we're the last state that doesn't have one. I just wanted to test this out with something non-controversial. I'm not adding 3 to 5 weeks to this, and just a short 9 day to celebrate Montana's history and heritage. And also speaking on sort of Montana's history and heritage and revolving in that 9 days, the legislature does have the authority to establish special commemorations to celebrate the history of Montana, whether they be memorials, holidays, or in this case, a hunt that celebrates that very significant tool in state history. And so
then one follow-up. Representative, I look at this and it says, you know, a person may take a deer or elk with a valid license. Now, would that be, but also, and you have rules adopted by the commission. So are you seeing where the commission could maybe make this, you know, in areas where we are overabundance with cows, could make that just a either sex season or possibly just a cow season, or can you elaborate on that?
Mr. Chair, Senator, that is why I worked with Fish, Wildlife, and Parks to amend them into this, to make that discretion for themselves where they see fit.
Thank you.
Ken McDonald is here as an information witness online, so if somebody needs to ask him a question, they sure can. Seeing no more questions, I'd like to ask Scott from the Hunters and Anglers a question. I was just wondering, you guys, I noticed, were proponents in the House, and you kind of tried to explain why you were turned to opponents, but I guess I didn't get all that. The original bill never had nothing about the commissioners or the commission deciding what to do. It was always in legislation. What other reason was it that you wanted you guys changed your mind?
I think, in all honesty, we just realized that there's really no reason to extend to virtually vote on something to change legislation outside of FWP's decision. In 9 days is extending the season an awfully long time. Obviously, big game need a break. I think that's been pretty obvious by a lot of people's remarks.
Okay, thank you. No further questions? Oh, Senator Brown?
Yeah, for the sponsor.
Mr. Chair, Senator?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. One of the, when I was a kid growing up in Washington, we hunted special muzzleloader seasons more than we would hunt the rifle season, just because of the time of the year, and it was a great thing that my dad and I enjoyed doing together. But in their language about the type of gun that you could use to make sure you're traditional, they had language in there about firing mechanism being exposed to the elements. I mean, I'm not so sure that I'm seeing that in here. Am I missing that, or is that something that, you know, perhaps that we need to add? I don't know.
Mr. Chair, Senator, I'd be open to that being an amendment, to be honest. I've done a couple other amendments, like adding loose powder into it, and so just an idea to make it more traditional is always welcome.
Okay, thank you.
Seeing no more questions, Representative, would you like to close in your bill?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I brought this bill because anyone who knows me knows I have been a lifelong muzzleloader enthusiast and a lover of the history of the time periods that involved them, since the second grade, to be exact. I consider muzzleloader hunting and shooting to be a dying art. Yes, an art. Anyone who has experienced a chase with a weapon that requires so much extra care to be successful understands this. Is the feelings of living in the shoes of your ancestors, stalking, getting close, keeping the frost off the steel of your flintlock so it sparks when you fire. It is using Kentucky windage and knowing where that rifle fires at every 10 yards without the ability to adjust sights to the whim. This heritage hunt is designed to be fair competition between enthusiasts of muzzleloaders and hopefully bring new enthusiasts into the fold. I'd like to thank you so much for the time, Mr. Chair and your senators.
Thank you. That closes our hearing on House Bill 242. Now we'll open a hearing on House Bill 202.
Sorry, guys. I've been called to another meeting.
Okay. Representative, you may close on your bill, or open on your bill if you want to first before you close.
Mr. Chair and committee that may look on Zoom later,
Diddley Logie, L-O-G-E, House District 14. The bill I have is, it's an act limiting the take of certain animals to one per lifetime. And what this is, we have some tags out there that are very sought after hunting license tags, and that's the bighorn sheep, the goat, and the moose. And what this bill does was it lets you hunt. Normally right now, if you get one of those tags, you have to wait 7 years before you put in for another tag. What this bill does will still allow that if you don't shoot an animal. If you get one of these tags and you can't hunt that fall due to any reason, or if you don't kill an animal, you can still put in 7 years for another tag. But what the bill does, if you actually harvest an animal, then that would be one harvest in a lifetime for the three big draws. And there are people out there that have waited 30, 40 years to try and draw an animal, and they haven't been able to draw. This bill, there is the odds don't necessarily increase that much. The odds are down around 1% of being drawn for any of these animals. But and this bill doesn't change the odds too much, but it does change the perception. A lot of people that have waited their lifetime, and other people have gotten two tags of an animal. And I was just in a crowd over the break, and there were a couple different people in that crowd that had drawn animals twice out of a small number of crowds. So the perception is they're the lucky ones and I'm not. The way the bill reads, there are five areas in Montana where you can hunt sheep. It's an unlimited draw. So you can go to those areas. Those hunters that feel like I'm giving up my bighorn sheep, my chances, more chances in my lifetime, they could still, if they're the gung-ho hunter, they could still go back to those five areas. And then there's also the opportunity, there are a lot of ewe tags that are out there, and there are some cow tags for moose. So those opportunities would still be available. This is basically that trophy tag. And the way I see it, and I've gotten a sheep tag and I've gotten a moose tag, but the way I see it is if you know that you only have one harvest in a lifetime, you're going to go out there and you're going to hunt hard and find that animal. If you don't find the animal you want, don't shoot. You'll have 7 years. You can put in for that tag again. So the idea is to go out and do a quality hunt. Don't just shoot the first thing that comes along, because it is such a special tag and such a sought-after tag that the idea is to really make it that special hunt. And it just makes sense that those that are so disappointed, this will give them that perception that they'll have a chance quicker. And like I say, you want to make it that special hunt. So one kill in a lifetime, one harvest in a lifetime, make it worthwhile. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Is there proponents in the room?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Everett Headley, spelled H-E-A-D-L-E-Y. I drove here from Stevensville today, and I changed out of my boots and put on my dress shoes, which is a really rare occurrence for me, and this was a bill that special to my heart. So I'm offering my testimony in support of HB 202. I'd like to thank Representative Logie for introducing this bill and his work carrying it through this legislative process. I'll be brief today. I think this bill is not necessarily about increasing odds of drawing one of these licenses, but about an equitable access to what is an extremely limited and frankly diminishing resource. In 2005, there were 12 licenses issued for mountain goats in HD 240 in the Bitterroot where I live. Today, only one is offered. And while we remain optimistic for the roughly 5,000 to 6,000 bighorns that we have in the state, we know there's serious threats to their status that we have yet to overcome. And I think other states have also recognized the need to limit these resources. Idaho, Washington, Oregon, California, New Mexico, Arizona, North Dakota, and Utah have all made the hard decision to limit these tags to once in a lifetime, and that can be found in their state regulations as well. And while we don't follow their example in all issues, or really in many issues, I think in this case, this is one that Montana should agree with. I wish all hunters would have the opportunity to pursue these animals that are unique and come with their own challenges. Those who have been successful have an incredible experience that, frankly, 99% of us never will. By making these licenses once in a lifetime, we live up to the words that Gifford Pinchot, the conservation giant father of the U.S. Forest Service, wrote about our great natural resources, saying, "Conservation is the foresighted utilization for the greatest good of the greatest number for the longest time." And I hope someday to draw one of these tags. And I would tell you, even if this bill wasn't passed, I would practice self-restraint on my own part and would hope other hunters would too, to give other hunters that opportunity to close in on their dreams. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, and appreciate your service that you give to the state.
Thank you. Are there further proponents?
Mr. Chair, fellow senators, I'm Dr. Dan Fear from here in Helena. I'm a landowner, and I've been on the Private Land Public Wildlife Council for Fish and Game for the last 8 years. We have members of the Private Land Public Wildlife Council who this was presented to them on several occasions, and we finally, by pretty much unanimous decision, decided to ask a legislator to present this bill to the public. And I would like this to be forthcoming. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there further proponents in the room? Are there any proponents online? Dale Tribby.
Mr. Chairman and members of the Senate Fish and Game Committee, my name is Dale Tribby, spelled T-R-I-B-B-Y, and I reside near Miles City. I am here again today representing Montana Sportsman Alliance, a coalition of resident hunters, anglers, and conservationists. For many Montanans, the opportunity to hunt and harvest a bighorn ram, mountain goat, or bull moose would be a dream. Many people I know have applied for over 30 years without ever drawing one of these coveted tags. At the same time, I know of a friend who in the span of 11 years drew two bighorn sheep tags in an area coveted by sheep hunters throughout the United States. As a member of the Private Lands Public Wildlife Council, to which I am a member, we endorsed this bill brought by fellow PLPW member Representative Denny Logie. What I particularly like about this bill is if somebody draws one of the tags but does not harvest an animal, they can apply again after the required waiting period. This would apply to me, as I was able to get a mountain goat tag several years ago, but due to weather conditions was not able to access the area and harvest that animal. Increasing the opportunities for hunters to hunt one of these species is our goal. With this in mind, we ask you for your support of House Bill 202. Thank you for the time to testify today.
Thank you. Marcus Strange.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, you've heard from me a couple times today. I'm here representing the Montana Wildlife Federation. We want to acknowledge up front that this is a complex issue and that people on both sides of this issue have strong feelings about it, and there are pros and cons to both sides. MWF's legislative committee had a robust internal discussion, and we feel that the sideboards to make this a once-in-a-lifetime harvest get at the issue at hand. And that issue is improving opportunities for all hunters to harvest one of our rarest and most treasured species. We hope that that this bill will improve opportunities and will encourage Montana hunters to be more actively engaged in the conservation work for these species. And for those reasons, we would ask for a due pass. Thank you.
Are there any opponents in the room? No opponents. There isn't any online, as I can see. Emily Cooper, are you there as an informational witness?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Emily Cooper. I'm the Licensing Bureau Chief at Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, and I'm available for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Those are questions from the committee. We have Senator Flowers with us too, so he's got his hand up. Do you have a question, Senator Flowers?
I do. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and my apologies for late arrival. I was presenting another bill in another committee. My question, and maybe this was covered by the sponsor and I missed it because I joined late, but I'll ask it of Ms. Cooper. Ms. Cooper, do you have an estimate of how odds will change for applicants for some of the popular special drawing tags if we create this once-in-a-lifetime sort of approach? Has that been estimated?
Mr. Chair, Senator Flowers, we have not run that statistical analysis, no. But we can certainly see what we can come up with and get it back to the committee.
Mr. Chair?
Follow up.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Cooper, I would appreciate that if you could do what you can. I realize it's probably going to take some assumptions, but if you could give that a run and let us know, I would appreciate it. Thanks very much.
Senator Flowers, I think Representative Logie had some talked about that a little bit. I don't know. Did you have some figures on that, Representative Logie?
Mr. Chair and Senator Flowers, I've got just a rough idea on that. And as an example, right now there were 23,000 applicants for the Bighorn Ram, and 123 were successful in the drawing. So if you take 123 out of that 23,000 each year for the next 10 years, you'd see that it would increase slightly, but it's not a huge increase, but it's almost more the perception, and it's not sure how many of those are out there looking for that trophy, but the odds would increase slightly, but the odds are not very good as it is, so that's the best I can give you for the figures that I have. I could also do on the goat. There were 16,000 applicants, and 172 were successful, which is about 0.88%. And so you'd take 172 out of that 16,000 each year to increase your odds eventually. Does that answer?
Does that suffice, Senator Flowers?
Yes, Mr. Chair, and I think there's with that there's no need to pursue it by Ms. Cooper. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Logie, I was just going to ask you, I see grizzly bears mentioned on here. What is there a season someplace for them?
Mr. Chair and committee, there is no grizzly bear season. It was already written in the regs. It was moved from the line up above or two lines up above and move down to where it is just in case there ever came a season. But it was already written in the statute to include the grizzly bear.
Thank you. Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for the sponsor.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, Representative, and I ask this question just so we have it on the record, and anybody that's might be watching or listening in, I guess, understands. I'm looking at new Section 3. this new section three, my concern in the beginning, and where I found new section three, was that we were cutting everybody who had previously taken a moose or a ram or a grizzly bear, maybe for that matter, but that we were cutting them out right now. But that doesn't apply to anybody who has previously shot anything, correct?
Mr. Chair, Senator Brown, that's correct. It does not. It starts at the starting date.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you. I just wanted to be sure that we had that on record, that people would hear that.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Did you want to close on your bill, Senator Representative Logie?
Yes, Mr. Chair and Senators. I just feel, like I said, the perception of this and the opportunity, a special hunt this is. I had the moose tag and I had the sheep tag. The sheep tag especially is something that I'll never forget and may not get drawn for another one, but I feel I did my due diligence and I hunted hard enough to get one on the low end of Boone and Crockett. The moose, there still is the opportunity of the cow tag for the moose, and even though I raise beef, moose actually is better than beef as far as I'm concerned. It's good to eat, but I think that opportunity exists, and it was mentioned, this came out of PLPW as well. It was a pretty big discussion on this, and it is one of those special, or the three special animals. Some people have brought up the point, well, it's going to continue on to elk, and you start including the elk, but this is not talking about elk. These are some special tags. There are some special elk areas, but that's elk hunting, and there are other regulations for elk hunting, and I feel this special tag is, we need to keep it special. And the once-in-a-lifetime harvest is the important part of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Logie. That concludes our hearing on House Bill 202. Senator Flowers, we were going to do some executive action, especially on or just on Senate Resolution 62. So we wanted to get it moving along. Would that be all right with you?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Senator Brown, would you want to...
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Do you have enough votes in the room?
We have enough votes in the room. Do you have
at least four people there?
No, we don't have four people here. No, do we need to have four people here?
Well, you need a majority of the quorum. So you have 11 members. Six is a quorum, and you need four to make a majority of the quorum.
Okay. I guess I didn't know that. Them doggone rules get in your way once in a while, don't they? So I guess
Mr. Jared.
I guess we'll have to wait on that then. And does anybody else have anything for the good of the committee?
If you could find just one more, you could.
We might go try to do that quick. Can you be around for a little bit, Senator Flowers?
I can, Mr. Chair. I have an audit meeting. I think that's why Senator Jacobson isn't there. You know, if we don't have a lot, Mr. Chair, in the folder there, I think it probably would be helpful if you were willing to wait until Senator Jacobson and Conower and McLafferty could join us on Thursday.
Okay, we probably should do that anyway. We don't have any bills on Thursday, but we can just meet for executive action. So,
okay.
Thank you. If there's nothing else for the good of the committee, Senate Fish and Game will be adjourned.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.